Welcome to The Word for Today, the broadcast ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Pastor Chuck is currently leading us on a verse-by-verse venture through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, we'll be continuing with The Reign of Josiah, as we pick up in 2 Chronicles, chapter 34, verse 1. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck Smith.
We close the 33rd chapter of 2 Chronicles with the short reign of Amon. He was 22 years old when he began to reign. He reigned only for 2 years. He did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, as did Manasseh his father. For Amon sacrificed unto all the carved images which Manasseh his father had made. He served them. He did not humble himself before the Lord. And he trespassed more and more. And thus he was assassinated after reigning only 2 years. And thus his little boy, he was 24 years old when he was assassinated. Thus his little boy, Josiah, was only 8 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned in Jerusalem for 31 years. Not a long time when you consider he was only 8 years old when he began his reign. It means that he died at the age of 39. However, in contrast to his father and grandfather, Josiah did that which was right in the sight of Yahweh and walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. He was a good king. Like Hezekiah, his great-grandfather, he walked with the Lord and instituted spiritual reforms in Judah. However, tragic to say, in spite of the fact that Josiah was one of the best kings of Judah, because of the actions of his grandfather Manasseh and the long period of history in which Manasseh reigned and led the people in all of the abominable idolatries, under the reign of Manasseh, the die was really cast, so that God, to be just, had to judge Judah. They had gone beyond the point of return. And though Josiah was a good king, all he did by his good reign was forestall the judgment of God that is impending and imminent. Again, as we look at the history of the nation of Judah, we realize that we are coming into this period of time in which Jeremiah was called to be the prophet. Jeremiah began his ministry as a prophet during the reign of Josiah. And Jeremiah continued to prophesy through the decline and the death of the nation of Judah. He had the rather difficult task of being the prophet to oversee and to observe the death of the nation and to watch it plunge at the death of Josiah right on down to the bottom and out. And no matter what he said, the judgment was determined and the people were determined to go on in their obdurate way in opposition to God. I must confess to you my great concerns for our nation today, for the abominations of our nation, for even as Judah served Baal, Ashtoreth, Molech, Mammon, and these other gods of the heathen, so our nation has turned to serving these gods, though we do not call them by that name. The worship of Molech was the worship of pleasure. And we see the pleasure mania that has gripped our country. The worship of Ashtoreth was the worship of the sex goddess. And we see the liberated attitude towards sex today. The worship of the Asherim was the worship of pornography, and we see that today. The worship of Molech also involved the sacrifice of children, and we see that today. We have a drug problem that won't quit. We have AIDS epidemic that won't quit. We have the free sex movements, homosexuality, lesbianism, and all that won't quit. And it is for these things that God brought judgment upon nations of history. Looking back in history, nations cannot give themselves over to these things and continue to exist. God is a righteous God, and He cannot tolerate these things continuing. We are at the state where Judah was at the death of Josiah, the good king, who at least brought a surface reform. Now, as we will observe, the reform under Josiah was not a deep, total reform, but it was a surface reform, but it was enough to forestall the judgment of God. My only hope is in the promise of the coming again of Jesus Christ. And as Jesus said to John at the close of the book of Revelation, "Behold, I come quickly." And John responded, "Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Such is my prayer day after day. As I see the things developing, O Lord Jesus, come quickly." I take comfort also in the fact that before God brought His judgment upon Sodom and Gomorrah, He delivered the righteous man Lot out of that den of iniquity. And it is my hope that before God brings judgment upon this land, He will deliver His body, His church, out of the land. And so I, with Paul, look for the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, and the blessed hope of His appearance. But I am concerned. And as we now come into the final stages of the history of the nation of Judah, we see this final plunge. There was this time of the forestalling of this judgment because of the righteousness of Josiah. He was a king who did that which was right. Even after modeling after David, he did not turn to the right hand or to the left. For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he was just 16 years old, he began to seek after the God of David, his father. And in the 12th year of his reign, when he was 20 years old, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places, from these sex goddesses or the pornography that was there. Began to clean up the pornography, the carved images, pornographic molded images, molten images. And they broke down the altars of the Baalim, which would be the Baals, the Baals, the plural of Baal, the lords or the gods of the pagans, which really was the deifying of man's intellect. And the images that were high above them he cut down, and the Asherim again, and the carved images, and the molten images he broke in pieces. Now, his grandfather Manasseh, you remember at the end of his reign, horrible man, and yet God forgave him. You remember that lesson last week. Though he did all of these evil, horrible things, when he was carried away as a captive to Babylon, he called upon the Lord, and the Lord heard his prayer, and the Lord restored to him the kingdom. God forgave him and restored the kingdom to him. And after that, he began to serve the Lord. But he didn't get rid of all of the idols. The pornography and all of these pagan idols were still there. So that his son, Ammon, was corrupted by these things, but passed quickly from the scene. And now Josiah, his grandson, becomes the king. And 12 years after becoming king, he goes through the land and he gets rid of all of this pornography that is there, all of these pagan idols that are there, broke them in pieces, made dust out of them, ground them, and he strewed the dust of them upon the graves of those that sacrificed to them. So upon the graves of the pagan priest, they scattered the dust of these idols that had once been used in worship. They, of course, burned them and then just took the ashes and ground it into powder. And he burnt the bones of the priest upon the pagan altars. They interred the skeletons of the pagan priests, burned their bones upon the pagan altars, and then he cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. And he did this also in the cities of the north. Now, the northern empire of Israel had already fallen to Assyria. With the strength of Judah, they began actually to sort of encompass those who remained who were righteous and still sought the Lord. And so he extended this cleansing on up into Israel, the cities of Manasseh and Ephraim and Simeon, even up to Naphtali, which is up to the area of the Galilee and the surrounding communities. And when he had broken down the altars and the Asherim, the pornographic goddesses, he had beaten the graven images into powder. He cut down all the idols throughout all the land of Israel. He returned to Jerusalem. And so there was a purging, there was a cleansing under Josiah. Now, in the 18th year of his reign, 26 years old, when he had purged the land and the house, he sent Shaphan, who was the son of Azaliah, and Maaseiah, the governor of the city, and Joah, the son of Joahaz, the recorder, to repair the house of Yahweh, his God. Again, under Manasseh, you remember that the temple was profaned in Jerusalem. If you'll remember, Manasseh took the Ark of the Covenant out of the Holy of Holies, or it was taken out of the Holy of Holies by the priest when they saw how that Manasseh was just desecrating the temple. He had built pagan altars within the temple. He had set the signs of the zodiac in the inner and the outer court of the temple. And so he set up an idol right in the Holy of Holies, which, of course, is a foreshadowing of the future when the temple will be rebuilt in Jerusalem and the Antichrist will come to Jerusalem and stand in the Holy of Holies. He'll set an image of himself within the Holy of Holies and demand that the whole world worship this image. Manasseh thus profaned the Holy of Holies. So the Ark of the Covenant was removed from it, probably by the priest, and hidden with, you know, the anticipation of it being profaned by the king. The priest probably took it out and hid it. But the temple had been really brought into disrepair and disuse as the result of Manasseh. But now, in the 18th year of the reign of Josiah, he then ordered the house of the Lord repaired. So he came to Hilkiah, the high priest, and they gave to him the money that was brought into the house of God, which the Levites that were the porters kept the doors. They gathered of the hand of the people of Manasseh and Ephraim, the remnant of Israel from Judah and Benjamin, and they returned to Jerusalem. So this was sort of a thing every once in a while. Whenever the temple would need rebuilding, they'd go out, the priests would go out and collect money from the people throughout the land. And so they put the money in the hand of the workmen that had the oversight of the house of the Lord, and they gave it to the workmen that wrought in the house of the Lord to repair and to mend the house. They gave it to those artisans, the builders, to buy the hewn stone, the timbers for the couplings, and the floor of the house which the kings of Judah had destroyed. And the men did the work faithfully, and the overseers of them were Jahath and Obadiah, the Levites, the sons of Merari, and Zechariah and Meshulam of the sons of the Kohathites to set the work forward, and the other of the Levites that were skillful in instruments of music. And there were also those who were over the bearers of burden, the common laborers. There were the overseers for all of those that wrought in all types of the work in rebuilding the temple. And of the Levites, there were the scribes, the officers, and the porters. And they brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord. Hilkiah the priest, when he was cleaning up the whole thing, the debris and the mess, he found a book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. The discovery again of the Torah. And so Hilkiah answered and said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the Torah in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah delivered the book to Shaphan, and Shaphan carried the book to the king and brought the king word back again, saying, all that was committed to thy servants, they did it. And they have gathered together the money that was found in the house of the Lord and have delivered it into the hand of the overseers and to the hand of the workmen. And then Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest has given me a book, and Shaphan read it before the king. And so with all of this repair, the cleansing of the temple, the cleaning out of the debris, the Torah is discovered, the law of Moses brought to the king, and now read to the king by Shaphan the scribe. And it came to pass when Josiah, the king, had heard the words of the law that he tore his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah and Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, and Abdon, the son of Micah, and Shaphan, the scribe, and Azariah, a servant of the king, saying, go and inquire of Yahweh for me, for them that are left in Israel and in Judah concerning the words of the book that is found. For great is the wrath of Yahweh that is poured out upon us because our fathers have not kept the word of Yahweh to do after all that is written in this book. Hearing the law of the Lord, hearing the curses that God pronounced upon the nation if they would forsake his law, if they would turn and worship the other gods, God declared the judgments and the curses that would come upon them. When Josiah heard this read, he realized, hey, we are ripe for judgment. I mean, we have done those things that God pronounced the curse upon us if we would do them. Our fathers were guilty of doing these very things. And thus, the judgment of God is hanging over our heads. And so Hilkiah and they that the king had appointed went to Huldah the prophetess. An interesting thing here. She was the wife of Shalom, the son of Tikvath, and the son of Hezra, the keeper of the wardrobe. Now she dwelt in Jerusalem in the college, that is, the school of the prophets, and they spoke to her to that effect. In other words, they said, the king wants to inquire of the Lord as what's going to happen to us because we are guilty. Our fathers have done those things that God warned about in the law. And so she answered them, thus saith Yahweh, the God of Israel, tell the man that sent you to me, thus saith Yahweh, behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof, and all of the curses that are written in the book which they have read before the king of Judah. And of course, go back into Deuteronomy and you read the curses that God pronounced that would come upon the people. They would be driven from the land. They'd be dispersed throughout the world. And all of these curses, God said he was going to bring upon them those things that were written in the law. Because they have forsaken me, they've burned incense to other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all of the works of their hands. Therefore, my wrath shall be poured out upon this place and shall not be quenched. God pronounces the pending judgment that is hanging over the nation.
We'll return with more of our study through the book of 2 Chronicles in our next lesson, as we continue with The Life of Josiah. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of today's message, or perhaps you'd like to order a copy for that special friend or loved one, you can do so by simply contacting one of our customer service representatives, and they'd be more than happy to assist you with the ordering details. Simply call 1-800-272-WORD. And phone orders can be taken Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-9673. And for your added convenience, you can order online anytime when you go to thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse through the additional resources that include Bible studies, commentaries, CDs, DVDs, and so much more. Once again, that's The Word for Today online at thewordfortoday.org. And for those of you who still prefer to write, you can use our mailing address, which is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And be sure to include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck Smith continues his verse-by-verse study through the book of 2 Chronicles. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck Smith.
May the Lord bless you and cause you to grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May you increase in your understanding and knowledge of Him. May you be freed from that power of darkness, the corruption that is in the world through lust. And may you grow up in Him in all things, being strengthened, and may you increase day by day in His richness, in His love, in His grace, in His word, in Jesus' name.
We'd like to invite all men to pay attention to this year's men's retreat entitled Switched On, Living in the Current, on DVD with bonus MP3. Join Pastor John Corson.
Dad, you touch the stuff you shouldn't touch, and you do the things that you shouldn't do. And it's not just going to cause you pain. Your whole family is going to be aching. Your whole family is going to pay the price. Your sons and daughters and grandkids, you will see what you do impact and affect them positively or negatively.
Watch and listen to Calvary Chapel pastors as they teach men the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, gospel communication, and the responsibilities of a godly man. For more information, please call The Word for Today at 1-800-272-WORD or visit us online at thewordfortoday.org.
This program has been sponsored by The Word for Today in Costa Mesa, California.